We're going to go, don't forget, we're in Hebrews, but we're going straight to Exodus. And so, Exodus chapter 30. I'm going to read from verse 17 through verse 21 concerning the laver. Exodus 30, verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. Thou shalt put water therein. And Aaron his son shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they shall die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to them, and to his seed throughout their generations. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can have the opportunity to look to your word and to study your word in a wonderful Sunday school class. Sweet Spirit, Father, and please, Lord, that you will just continue to guide and lead us each and every day. We must have your presence. You come and you meet with us and you guide and you lead us. And please, Father, that we never want to meet without you being here. And so guide and lead us now through your precious word and show us so clearly what each one of us need to see and to hear. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of things that I want to bring to your attention before we go over to Exodus 38, just for a second, the eighth verse there. It also refers to the laver. There is two times that we have instructions of the construction of the tabernacle. One is the time that he tells it to the nation of Israel. The second time is when they build it. And so we're looking at chapter 30 here is when they get the instructions. Chapter 38 is when they actually construct it. And so we've got two times that it tells us what it's all about. And so let's go ahead. Hold your hand here because we're going to come right back to chapter 30. But let's go to chapter 38, verse 8 very quickly because I want you to see that. Exodus 38, verse 30. Because we're going to, before we leave the service today, I'm going to collect all the gold. Exodus chapter 38 verse 8, and he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass and of the looking front of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I just thought the gold would be easier for me to make something than brass, but brass is fine. And so I want you to see that, where this brass came from, specifically for the laver. Specifically for the laver. It came from the mirrors of all the ladies. And What do we do? And we kind of kid about this a little bit. You know, when you get up in the morning and you know, I know Richard and Keith and Jim, I know that you do this. You go into the bathroom and you look in that mirror and you just smile and you just so, you know, You're just so proud of yourself, and just, you know, it just, you know, and you know, it, you know, Jim, you got little whiskers here, but Keith and Dick, well, they have them down here, and I don't have any at all, so it don't take me quite as long. But you just look at that mirror, and you just, you just such a joy at what you see, and Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, and thank you for this face that you've given me, and I'm ready to go. And what, 45 minutes, an hour, you know, before Virginia can get in the bathroom, Richard? I mean, got two bathrooms. That works. You got three. You know, there's a reason that the Lord gave us this little part here to tell us where that brass came from. It's because the Word of God shows us exactly who we are. And when you look down into this laver here, all polished up, that's the purpose of it. So we, because really, you know, I don't think any of us spend any more time than we have to in front of the mirror. We want to look presentable, and so we take care of that, and then that's it. You don't dwell on, and I know some do, but most don't dwell on their looks, other than they do want to look presentable, and that's fine. But here, the purpose is that when they look into this laver, that they really see themselves honestly and say, Lord, please forgive me. And so with that in mind, I wanted to go back to 38:8 there so you could see that. A couple of things. We have the brazen altar, which is outside in the courtroom. We have the laver is next, and then you go in and we have some things, the lampstand, the table showbread, and the incense altar, and then on to the Ark of the Covenant as you move forwards into the room. But the laver, different than the brazen altar, the laver doesn't give us any dimensions. It doesn't say how much water. It doesn't say what size it is. It just says it has two levels, one for the hands and one for the feet. So if you would like to wonder how necessary it is for this washing that these priests were doing, if you wondered about that, you just have to read two areas in the scripture here. One is in verse 20, and it's about halfway down through there. They shall wash with water that they die not. Verse 21 says the same thing, that they die not. Now, they are talking here of not just a spiritual separation. They're talking about a physical death if they have come into the tabernacle and about to minister and the giving of an offering. They must wash. They also must always wash before they go into the tabernacle, into the tent like unit itself. You know, here is the big picture. This here is the same as down here, so you can see it. But when you come in, the first thing that we come to is this brazen altar, and we're going to spend a little more time with that here in a few minutes. But next is the laver. And before they could ever go in to the tabernacle itself, and just very quickly, we've got the embroidered ceilings, beautiful white linen and all embroidered and with cherubims and beautiful. And the walls is 15 foot high, and the walls are acacia wood overlaid with gold. The table of showbread is acacia laid over with gold. The lampstand is pure gold. The incense altar is acacia wood overlaid with gold. It's just a beautiful, most beautiful place. And a couple of things. Number one, they get dirty as they're offering the sacrifices. And the other thing is that out here and in there, there is no floor. It's dirt. It's just dirt. And there's a reason for that. And it's to remind us that we, even though we're saved and we're in the world, we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are still in the world. And we pick up dirt. I never was one to go barefooted. I did it one time when I was about 4 years old, stepped on a bee, and that was the last time. From that time on, I always wore shoes. And I never could see, but some folks, some of you may have known old Homer Wallace. He repaired windmills and was a plumber. And he would not climb a windmill. He was barefooted. And his feet were almost black. They were just all calloused, and because all summer long he never wore shoes. He hated shoes. And so he always went barefooted all the time. And you could see it, he washed, I know, but his feet got dirty. Well, as they ministered in the tabernacle here, they also, and remember one thing, the earth is cursed. And as we walk through this life, it's a cursed world. It's a cursed life. And whether we like it or not, that I mentioned earlier with how God created us with two ears, sometimes we just hear stuff we shouldn't hear. Somebody says it, where you work, the language you have to listen to, it just different things that, and when you hear it, it's awful hard to get that back out of your head. And the more you hear it, then it's not too long that you begin to speak it. You begin to say it. You don't mean to, but it's just your environment. It's the corrupt world that you're around. Well, there's only one way that you can take care of that. And that is by the washing of the Word of God. The Word of God does the cleansing. But first, you've got to come to the brazen altar. You come to the altar, you accept that sacrifice that the Lord Jesus has offered you, and then you can come. And it's a lifetime process of cleansing. How many times does the priest wash at this wash basin? 20 times, 30 times, 50 times a day? Every time that they would minister at the altar, they would go to the laver and wash. Wash their hands, wash their feet. Every time they would want to go into the tabernacle, they would want to wash their hands and wash their feet. What happens if they didn't? They would die. They would die. We talk about the high priest, how that he goes into all the way to the Holy of Holies, past the veil, and go in on the Day of Atonement, and how that what a day that would be. But that man was responsible for confessing all of his sin. If he did not confess all of his sin and he walked into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God, he would die. If these folks, and that little table area here,
right here,
that's what they call a table of showbread, and we'll get to that. But there are 12 loaves of bread on there. And so they come in, they offer their sacrifice, and then I'm not too bad. And you walk right on in to, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. They would drop over dead. If they would come back to offer more sacrifices and offerings and have not washed their hands, they would drop over dead. Now, spiritually, we can look at that in our lives, because the more unconfessed sin that a believer has, we lose fellowship with God. And so we die just a little bit. In other words, we're just separated a little bit more from our God because of unconfessed sin. That's what this labor is all about. This labor is a place where we can come and look to the Word of God and ask God to literally set us free. Now, Rex is out of town today. But he's just catching up on this tabernacle. And he said, I see what this is, but how does it apply to me today? Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. And you'll need to tell Rex as soon as he comes next time that he missed it. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become priests. Only the priests could enter into the courtyard, into the tabernacle. Not a common man couldn't go in there. Only a priest. But the reason this applies to us is because we have become priests. We have taken that place and that position. So, just kind of, first of all, you're saved. And you're saved by acknowledging that you're a sinner and trusting in Jesus. That's done at this altar, this little square there. Then the cleansing begins. And that washing is as the priests every day, many times through the day. And it's done through the water, through the washing. And it's not baptism. That's through the Word. And we're going to look at verses of Scripture that confirms that. And once you've cleansed, once you've done that, then the opportunity to go into the tabernacle and to feed upon the table of showbread, which stands for the Word of God. And so that's the process. You're saved first, and then the cleansing begins. And it's so sad because so many folks that are saved, that have trusted in the Lord Jesus, have bowed their knee and said, "Lord, please forgive me and save me." They're saved. So then they move right on over and they come to that laver. And they look down in that laver and they see themselves. And they decide that they don't want to change. So many believers are locked between the altar. Once you trust in Jesus, you're saved eternally. But until you accept that cleansing work, and sometimes it kind of gets ugly. God's got a lot of work in each one of us to do. And I'd be down with Grandpa Horner, Mom's dad, and Grandpa and I would come in, and they died when I was 10, so you can imagine that it was, you know, I wasn't very old. But when we would come in, we'd come in the back door, and there was two little pedestals there that Grandpa had built, and one of them had a pan on it, and you had the cistern, and you'd crank the cistern and get the water out of it and put it the pan there. And then the other one, Wyatt, had the bar soap and an old towel laying there. And you would come in, and Grandma didn't put ivory soap out there. We had lava. And to a little boy's hands, that lava was gritty and just like it was grinding skin off of you. But it got the dirt off. Now, I would have been satisfied as being, you know, 7, 8 years old just to take my hand and swish it in the water a little bit and go right on in. Well, if Grandpa and I'd went in to sit down at the table with Grandma, we'd got thrown out if we had not washed. And so I can still remember that. Right in the back porch we'd go, and the table was set, the food was there, and we'd sit down and have a wonderful meal. But we always washed. We always washed. But it hurt when you was grinding that old lava soap across your hands, trying to get the grease or whatever it was off of your hands. But you worked at it, and many times you'd take that dirty pan of water and you'd give it a toss and you'd get fresh water. And then you'd just continue until you were clean to where you could go in and enjoy dinner. Now, it's the same way here with the Word of God. It's a constant thing. It's a constant cleansing. It's a constant, and it comes by the Word of God. And that's what this stands for. Brass stands for judgment, as we've talked about. The water stands for the Word of God. And so when we come to this laver, for us, it is to sit down with the Word of God and read the Word of God and let it touch our hearts and change our lives to be more like the Lord Jesus. We've already been cleansed by the blood. We've been made perfect, but we're still walking in this on this old cursed earth. Do you notice something that's missing? Something that I enjoy using. There's no chairs. There's no place to sit. They're constantly in service. You go from the altar to the laver into the holy place and enjoy the table of showbread. There is no, they don't sit up to the table like we do. Stand constantly as they were serving their time as a priest in service of the Lord. We need to do the same thing. We need to keep ourselves busy and in service to the Lord. But at the same time, if there's no place to sit, you know, in the kitchen we got this the bar and we got some stools that are there. And when you sit there, because it's high, you got a place to put your feet up. They don't even sit. Their feet were constantly connected to the ground, constantly getting dirty, constantly needing the cleaning and the washing with their hands and their feet, as each one of us need every day as we walk in this world. So please, that the understanding of the labor, even though we have no dimensions. No, I'm sure they had sandals, but they would still get their feet. I'm not sure your feet doesn't get dirtier wearing sandals than it does wearing just barefooted. And So at the altar, the penalty of sin was settled, and is settled forever. And the laver is a place where it dealt with the sins of the saints. The laver speaks of separation from the world, and through confession of sin and the cleansing by the word of God, we find that the Lord does a work in our heart and in our life. Because it is a decision that you and I make to go to the laver, to go to the effort of the washing, it is somewhat of a self-judgment. God does it. He does it through His Word, but we have to decide to do it. We have to decide that we want that. We need to yield to God for His service. And again, the laver was made from the looking glasses of the women of Israel. And so when you look in there, we are not told, and the reason God chooses not to tell us some specific things about the brazen altar and the laver and some of the furnishings is because we would try to make it. We would try to duplicate it, and then we would begin to worship in front of it, and we'd do those kind of things. God doesn't want that at all. He wants us to learn from this, and He wants to enjoy it, but we're not to make it, and we're not to build it. And so how often is the water changed in this laver? You get your hands bloody or your feet dirty, and you put it in the water, that water's polluted instantly. How often did they come and drain this thing and put new water in it to keep it cleansed? We're not told. We're not told how much water was in it. We're not told of who services the labor. We're told of the priest going to the brazen altar. We're talking about going to the table of showbread. We talk about the people that trim the wicks of the lampstand and they bring incense and the coals in from the brazen altar for the prayer altar or the incense altar. We're given some of those things, but we are not told of anyone that tends to the laver. I think that the reason is it shows us that God's grace is unending. We have an opportunity to always come. We have an opportunity to always see the power and the cleansing of the Word of God. You know, today, after a person comes by the brazen altar there or comes to the cross, we're saved. And the next is to be separated for service, whether it's this tabernacle or whether it's serving the Lord. But today, the sad thing is that the gospel is preached, not often, but it's kind of an easy believism system, and all you have to do is say the words, and they forget about talking about that the Holy Spirit needs to convict your heart of sin before you can be saved. That's forgotten. We don't hear about that. And then, as long as you sign a card and come forward, that's the end of it. That's not. That is the beginning of your service and your life. And we have that in the picture of the brazen altar, then the laver, the washing. And so it's so important. Got some verses of Scripture here we're going to look up, and then we'll, as always, we run out of time so quickly. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 3. Because you'll see as I speak of the water being the Word, that it is what the Word of God tells us. John chapter 15, verse 3. John 15:3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Let's go to 17:17, John. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, the scripture says. That's 17:17. Now let's go to Ephesians, because this one really brings it to a close. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Ephesians 5, 26. Says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Again, so many people confuse it with baptism. Baptism is so important. We need to follow the Lord in baptism after we're saved, but it's got nothing to do with your salvation, and it also has nothing to do with your walk other than being obedient. But here we see that it's the washing of water by the word. And so the example we have in the laver here with the priest is that they come and they need to wash before they can go into fellowship with the Lord, before they can go in and feed upon the word of God. And when we talk about the 12 loaves, that's the bread of life. We come and we feed upon the Word of God. If you're down, if you're having trouble, if you're having difficulty, go to the Word of God and open it up and read it and enjoy it. And Lord, please speak to me. Show me what you want me to have today. And He will lift you up and strengthen you. It's so important that you look to the Word of God. And so we find that the cleansing of the priests every time they become defiled. And it was needful them to go to the laver for the washing. And they would do that many times. And there was no place to sit, no place to rest. When you took your time of service as a priest, ministering in the tabernacle, it was a constant work. It was not something you work for a little bit and then take a break. And every step that you took, your feet was upon the ground, collecting the dust and the dirt. Just one more thing, and then we'll close. To deal with our sin, sometimes it's a matter of forgiving. And if we have trouble forgiving someone, Peter asked Jesus, says, how many times do I have to forgive him? Seven times? You just wonder who did something to Peter that brought that question. Something. Do I have to forgive him seven times for this? And what did Jesus say? 70 times seven times. In other words, you just keep forgiving. And you'll find that when you forgive and forget, you know, we say we forgive, but then we don't forget. It's important that we forgive and forget. And then folks will begin to forgive you, because if you have a forgiving heart, that comes only by the washing of the Word of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this short time that we have to pour over your word and to look at this one, because we're going to go right on into the tabernacle, into the holy place, and we're going to begin to look at the lampstand, look at the table of showbread, the incense altar. We know the cleansing comes through your word. We know the cross where you died and shed your blood was there to take away our sins, every one of them. But we still live in this old world. We still get dirty, and we need that washing daily. So please, Father, just guide and lead us. Show us your way, and we'll. We need to come to the brazen altar for salvation. Come to your cross, and please come. And may we need to come up to go to the laver. We've kind of stayed away from the laver because we don't like the soap's kind of gritty, and it hurts when we begin to deal with some things. And so, guide and lead us, Father, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.